Spiritual Life Center.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Amen. Well, thank you, music team, for that wonderful rendition of that song. And as I listened to that song, there are a couple of phrases that caught my attention, particularly the phrases that state, we will have fears and joys, and the phrase that makes reference to the girls and the boys, and that memories can never live without. Those words triggered a recent memory in me. It was an early evening. Recently, I took a walk to a nearby park. And while I was strolling there, partly for exercise, but also for walking meditation, I arrived at the park and I noticed a group of boys and girls jump roping, what they call double Dutch style. I hadn't seen anything like that in a number of years. So I decided to sit on the bench to watch. And for those who are familiar with double Dutch, it's more complicated than regular jump roping. It's a game in which two long ropes are turning in opposite directions and are jumped into by one or more players. You know, the kids were teaching someone new to double Dutch, and I noticed that they were instructing the newcomer that the key to being successful at double Dutch jump roping was to jump in the middle of the two ropes and then get in rhythm with the rope's flow. And after a while, when you get into the flow of the rope's rhythm, individual creativity can kick in. Each jumper can jump on one foot or flip around backwards between jumps or whatever one's imagination comes up with. However, the double Dutch rope jumper or jumpers must jump in tune with the rope's beat. It must jump in tune with the rope's rhythm. Otherwise, they will become entangled in the ropes, and they have to begin all over again. As I watched the double Dutch jumpers, I realized that it can serve as a metaphor for life. Because our universe has a rhythm, and that rhythm serves as a foundation for all of life and all that we do. In many respects, we are here to get in tune with the rhythm. We're here to get in tune with the vibration of the universe. And when we do that, we can fully express our individual and infinite creativity. But if we're not in tune with its rhythm, what we do is set in motion something that eventually will collapse. And then we have to begin again. There is a call from the universe for us to get in tune with its rhythm, to get in tune with its vibration. When we answer this call and come under its government and come under its guidance of this grand universe, anything we can ever hope for, want or desire can begin to take shape in our own unique way. What we seek is already laid out in front of us. All we need to do is get in sync with what is already complete in God's mind and be its creative expression. You know, we can help ourselves get in sync with that call and that rhythm of the universe when we affirm our intention and speak the words, "It is done," or "Amen." Understand, when we say "it is done," we're declaring energetically that we're aligned with what Spirit has already accomplished. You know, in 2 Colossians, the first chapter in the 20th verse, it says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in God." This is why we utter amen through God. Now, when we say amen, or so it is, we may think that's what we say and that's the end of our prayer. And that's the end of it. But there is more to it than just saying those words in a perfunctory way. When we say those words by rote, we lose the inner meaning of "and so it is," or "amen." Because it means really, "so be it." It does not mean "it will be." It does not mean "in God's time it will be." It means "it is done. It is finished. Now it is the truth. It is in tune with the rhythm of the universe." In the ancient land of Kemet, also known as Egypt, amen meant master or ruler. So whatever we unite amen to becomes our master. It becomes our ruler. It rules us. Or put another way, anytime we accept something as true, we are saying amen to it. We're saying, "so it is." And we want to ask on a regular basis, what are we accepting as true in and as our life? You know, we never experience anything in our body or our body of affairs called our life that we have not accepted in one form or another. We've not accepted in some one form or another in our minds, in our hearts, and that applies to us as individuals. It applies to our collective society. This is often referred to as the law of acceptance. The implication is that the great amen is accepting this. So we must ask, what are we accepting? Often people begin to mistake and begin with the understanding or the misunderstanding of these spiritual principles that have been taught for thousands of years. They may mistakenly believe, maybe even unconsciously, that they focus so much so that they focus and attach their amen to removing negativity that's resisting their good. But often what happens, all their energy goes to removing negativity, and ultimately that's all they see. That's all they feel. And they carry that sense of negativity that's infiltrating their being. And all the work that they do is simply to try to get rid of negativity. So what happens? They go deeper into the negativity that may be in their parents or from their parents. They find pockets of negativity in the human race that's been around for thousands of years. They may get so frustrated they begin to believe they'll never get to the bottom of what's wrong. They'll never get to the bottom of the negativity. And then there's a weight on them. And then the spiritual life becomes a drudgery. And every day they feel they got to wake up and defeat all the negativity in their consciousness. And let me tell you, if you get caught up in the news and what's on the internet, that's what it'll feel like. But we want to examine a story in the Bible that you're probably familiar with, about Daniel in the lion's den. And as we read the story, we discover that Daniel was a praying man. He prayed a minimum of 3 times a day, and he had a permanent prayer field around him. Understand, he did not just pray when he was thrown in the lion's den. Now, that would have been a good idea. Nothing wrong with that, mind you. But he was prayed up all the time. It wasn't like he said, "Oh, my God, the lions and the problems, let me pray." Like some people, when they get into an emergency, they may ask, "What's the number to Silent Unity? I need to pray with somebody. Or where do I contact a SLC chaplain?" No, Daniel was praying all the time. And so when he was thrown in the lion's den, he had no worry. Because like those kids who jumped in the middle of the ropes, Daniel had jumped in the middle of the power and the presence and the love of God. But here's the key as it relates to the topic of the day, "and so it is," or the great amen, as Eric Butterworth entitled one of his chapters that we're covering this week. You know, when we read the Daniel story and we look at many of the artists' depiction of that particular scene, you will see a couple of things. Number one, he wasn't looking at the lions. He was not saying amen to the lions. He was looking at the light in the cell and facing toward what they said was Jerusalem. And that whole depiction is symbolic. Daniel was not looking and staring at the problems. He wasn't thinking about the problem. He was thinking about the presence of God. How often do we wake up every day and we just go over problems over and over and over again? And in our minds, we may have a little bit of time for maybe a positive affirmation. And then over and over again, we go back to the problem and we say, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, my God, this is happening. And then we might say, oh, my God, God is good. And then we go back and say, what am I going to do? Oh, my God, please listen to me. What am I going to do? And then we might say, God is good all the time. But Daniel did not do that. He did not look at the problem. He looked at Jerusalem, the symbolic city of peace, leading to an experience of oneness with God. He was looking toward the light, and the lions could not attack him because his vibration was one with the universe. He had answered the call of the universe. We want our amen to be in sync with the goodness of the universe. As we're moving through this life, you know, we'll probably have our own lions that seem to be chasing us. They've maybe closed in on us. We may feel that our backs are against the wall. And all we see are lions. We have to take our time to turn away and our attention away from that and turn toward Jerusalem, turn to the Jerusalem of our soul, the light, the city of peace. We have to contemplate that. Say amen to that. And ultimately, we will be set free. Because all that we will see then will manifest because that is what we're looking at. Because we're looking from that awareness. The idea is not going into prayer knowing that every thought is a prayer when it has energy behind it. We're not going into prayer to overcome negativity. We're not going into prayer to overcome resistance. We're going into prayer and using our prayer life and using the great amen, and so it is, to have a spiritual realization of what is, what's real, what's eternal, what's here and now. Because in reality, that is the only thing that's going on. All the rest is an illusion. You know, there's a song that I used to sing from time to time that says, only God is real. It goes something like this. Only God is real. All the rest is just illusion. Only God. Only God is real. So we understand there's nothing going on in the world in any place other than the presence of God. Anything else that appears to be going on is a thought form. It's a perception that has been transmuted into experience, circumstance, or situation. So here we are, hearing the call of the universe. And as we tune in with that, our vibration is increasing. And that which has been done by thought, our own thought, our limited thought, can be undone by listening, deeply listening, as Reverend Deborah mentioned last week, and following the call of the universe. Now, this is powerful and very key. You see, the ramifications are awesome because heretofore, we may have been moving through our external world trying to change circumstances, trying to change situations as if they were real, as if they were permanent, as if they were eternal, as if they meant something other than they're simply someone's perception and moving into the world, giving more power to the very thing that you may be trying to change in the world. But those things are not eternal. So what needs to happen? We need to come to a complete stop and begin to listen. Listen to the call of the universe so that we are in tune with its rhythm. We are in tune with its sacred sound, just as those boys and girls were in tune with the turning of those two jump ropes. Understand, real change occurs on the inside within us. So when we are aligned with our true nature, which is also God's nature, we're privileged to see that world. We're privileged to see that world that God has created. This is why in the 23rd Psalm, it says in substance that goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. You know, this reminded me of a time I was listening to one of my classmates in ministerial school. And she was sharing how she had an illness that had her pretty much on her deathbed. And she was in the hospital bed, hooked up to a bunch of tubes. And she recalls people telling her that, you know, they need to help her get her affairs in order. But something within her said she wasn't going to go along with that. And for some reason unbeknownst to her, she yanked off all the tubes that she was hooked up to. And she said she just let go and let God. And then, bam, all of a sudden, to everyone's surprise, shortly after that, she was healed. She said that she looked back on that time. She said she stopped thinking about the illness and turned over to the universe, turned herself over to the universe. In so many words, she attached her amen to wholeness. And I'm not saying that's what you should do if you're finding that situation, but this is what guidance she got as a result of listening to Spirit. This is what Spirit said she should do. And what you must do is what Spirit guides you to do in whatever situation you're facing. But the whole idea is this. When God is our shepherd, when God is our first thought, we shall not want anything, and goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. If we break that down a little bit, really what I'm saying that we know that God is good and everywhere present in its fullness. And when our vibration is lifted, goodness follows us all the days of our life. And mercy is the quality of the Spirit that requalifies our past perception and makes everything new. We want to hear this. This is how powerful this presence is. It requalifies our past perception and previous thought forms, things that we have thought before that have not been in alignment with wholeness. Mercy embraces that and realigns us and brings us back to wholeness, brings us back to right hearing, brings us back to right seeing. And lo and behold, our relationship to time has changed. Because time is a construct, it's a human construct of thought. It does not exist in the mind of God. Because God is everywhere present, as I like to say, omniactive. So there is no comparison or no other anything, no other time zone. God is. God is now. God is all there is. All there is this presence of God. If you don't like the word God, just say it's the force. This is answering the call of the great amen. Goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life when we let that be our belief. And in that instant, there is a healing. Now, it may not necessarily be a physical healing, but whenever we realize our oneness with the Spirit of living God, we are healed in that instant. Because that which we thought previously becomes dissolved into the nothingness which has come, and mercy of God takes over. We are one with the presence. In the life of God, healings then begin to happen. But a lot keeps us focused on the past. because we're attaching our amen or our so it is to that past, and then our future becomes a demonstration of that which has already happened. But the now is God. And we're saying, and so it is to the now. We're saying amen to the now. We're saying amen to the good of God. And then in the now of this moment, in the presence of God, our vibration is lifted, and we're no longer looking at life through the lens of some past childhood experience. Instead, we are beginning to see life as it is, God as it is, the unchanging nature of what it is. And we're saying amen to that. We're saying amen to who we are, and who we are, as Jesus said, we are the light of the world. We are the light that lighteth up every man and every woman that cometh into the world. Understand, he did not say, give me a light. He said, you are the light. And when we say amen to all that God is, our so-called problems dissolve. They disintegrate. We're connected with God. Those problems are dissolved. You know, we're not saying amen to our problems. We're not saying, and so it is, to the problems that we think we have. We're saying amen and thinking about God. Because God is not a problem solver. It is the consciousness of God that dissolves all problems. God don't know nothing about our problems. We do. So we need to say amen to the truth. Because the difficulty is we become accustomed to worry, doubt, and fear. We think that's normal, and we say amen to that. We think this is just how it is. We're worried about this. We're worried about that. We see things on the internet or TV. We hear the politicians telling us to be worried about other people, people from different countries, people who speak a different language, people who have a different religion. We're worried about these things, and we think this is how life is because we're attaching our amen to it. But no, we want to attach our amen to the possibilities of the human spirit by getting in tune with the rhythm of the universe, the flow of the universe. So let me close out with these few words. You know, there's a reminder the universe is calling. It's reminding us individually and collectively there is a divine pattern for our life and the life on the planet in which we live. And we don't have to make it happen. We merely have to make it welcome. We make it welcome by saying yes to the all good of God. We say it welcome by giving our attention to that consciousness, because we know whatever we direct our attention to, wherever our interests are focused on individually on in a group level, ultimately becomes our experience. If we're more interested in what divides us than what unites us, if we're more interested in lack and limitation than using our imagination to create genuine spiritual abundance, if we're more interested in protecting ourselves rather than sharing and attaching our amen to all of that, then that's what we will manifest. We will manifest and experience lack and limitation. We'll manifest fear, doubt, and worry. And all the things that we see on the news, and I'm not saying don't be informed, but be aware that it's not the final word. We deny those things as being the final word. And understand that if we're interested more in the qualities of God, the qualities of love, the qualities of sharing, God's will find themselves answering the call. We will all find ourselves answering the call of the universe, being full of the expression of what God is. And we will be in heaven, which is ever expanding good. As Jesus said, according to the Gospel of Thomas, the kingdom of heaven is spread all over the earth, and men and women see it not. But understand right here, right behind the static we get from the outside world that's preventing us from hearing the call of the universe, right behind the static that is preventing us from seeing the kingdom of ever-expanding good, right behind, beyond that, is a world that is real. It is eternal. It is now. And it is to that we say, and so it is, and attach our great amen to. Peace and blessings to you.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center. One heart.